Okay, well, good evening. As Pastor was saying, we are very burdened about some things that we've been discussing, he and I, and direction that we'd love to see the Lord enable us to go in reaching out to our community more and making a difference. And my burden is that it wouldn't just be the burden of a few, but it would be all of ours, and that we would see the calling of God that we have in this area and really move forward in God's will. Pastor knows I come up with all kinds of ideas, and they're not all God's will. And some are great, some are okay. They sound really exciting to me, but we have to be sure that as a church, we are doing what God wants us to do. And so sometimes we have bad ideas. Sometimes we have things that, well, that's good, but it doesn't, it's not now. So we have to walk year after year as the Lord tarries in his will, doing what he's called us to do. And I would ask that you join in that process as we move forward in the matter, in the ministry of evangelism for the Lord here at Faith Bible Church. Let's see. I don't know that I have a passage. Well, yeah, we'll get to a main passage later. So how about you can turn your Bibles over to Luke chapter 14. We'll go back there. We're going to spend some time reviewing. And guys, you can get the screen down, and I have some things to put on the screen tonight. We're going to spend some time reviewing. I feel that the Lord has led me to really spend time preaching on evangelism and leading us through some important things to consider on that subject over the course of this year, or however long the Lord will have me kind of stay in that groove. I was thinking I might go a different way with some of my preaching this year, but I can't get away from evangelism. There is so much that I would like us to be able to do for the Lord and in this area. And so this is where we'll be, I think. I'm beginning to see all different directions I want to go in the future. Maybe just a little sneak peek if I can think of some things. Right now we're discussing a personal evangelism brand, and we'll be reviewing that tonight and thinking about it more because I want it to sink into your hearts. So there's a personal evangelism brand to consider, but also we're a church here, which means there's a corporate evangelism brand to also consider, and that has slowly been unfolding over the last few years. The Lord has led us to do some things, and so there's things to consider on the corporate level. But I also want to really dive in the near future, maybe next month, into what's this whole consideration about providing something of value to other people? How can we use that effectively to reach to their souls? There's some very important things, I believe, to consider there with the subject of providing value. Along with that, there's some serious things to consider that we provide value in ways that are right. Because there's churches that are attempting to do evangelism or reach out to their communities with valuable things, but they're not things that are pleasing to God. And so whatever we use of value, it has to be right. It has to be pleasing to the Lord. It has to align with his character. And where does balance come into all this? Because you can just be all about evangelism and what about discipleship? What about other things that we need to be busy about and balancing all of life and ministry? Those are all important things to consider as we develop, I guess, what you would call as a philosophy of evangelism, and then making sure why we do what we do is the right reasons. And so a lot of things I'd like to get into in the future, but we're going back to the concept of a personal evangelism brand. And you remember that we started to really look at finding God's plan for you in evangelism. I do believe that this is not something that is just for a few of us in this room to be passionate about. This is something that God has called each one of us to have a part in, because we are disciples of him, we are followers of him, and we have a light, whether we like it or not, that shines from us. We have the fact that we are salt in this world, as the Bible describes us, as an illustration of that. And we are supposed to be leaving a certain flavor to all who come into contact with us. And so whether you like evangelism or not, God has called you to it to some degree. And I think that degree may be more than often we want to admit. And so I want to place that burden in you. I want the Lord to do that, because I don't feel like I can adequately even share these things to where I can instill something in you. I am praying that the Lord would burden us for this and that he would do his work. So last time we started off with these thoughts. God has made you unique. He has made you unique for a purpose. He has put certain things in your life that are different from the person sitting next to you. He has given you certain talents. He has given you certain abilities. He has made you look a certain way. He has created you a very unique person. It's hard to find someone else in the world that is like you, correct? Even in the things they like and dislike. Okay, you can come across some of those pretty easily. As you live your life, you'll find, oh, this guy likes the same thing I like there, and this person likes that person doesn't like that. But to come across somebody that is so much that matches you, where they even look like you, you can't find someone like that, okay? Because we are all unique, and God is an amazing creator to make us that way. And he has a purpose in that. He has made you unique for a purpose. And when it comes to evangelism, I want us to explore why he has made you personally unique. And so you can use that. Think of the verse of Psalm 139, verse 14. It says, I'll praise the Lord, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. And so since our time thinking about this last month, have you thought about why you are unique? Have you thought about why God has given you certain abilities? Have you taken some time to consider what your personal evangelism brand is and how you can use those things for the Lord? I hope that you have, that you've spent some time, because this needs to sink into us. This needs to become a part of the way we think around here. In our effort of evangelism. God has made me a certain way. I need to use what God has made me for this purpose, for impacting other people's lives. God has made us fearfully and wonderfully. Marvelously, he's done this. And so let that sink in. But another truth that we noticed, John 15, verse 5, says there, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And we just took a moment last time to remember John 15 and the chapter there of how God wants us to bear fruit. He's made us unique. He's made us for a purpose. And that purpose is to be fruitful while we are in this life. He wants us to bear fruit. Now, we can define fruit different ways. And that's not the purpose of tonight, but I'll tell you this, I want to see some people saved. And I want to see some genuine conversions. I want to see people not just accept Christ as Savior and then we never see them again. No, I want to see genuine conversions. And that doesn't have to be the definition for fruit here, but that's the definition I want to give it. Don't you? I want to see God do that kind of a work amongst us, where we are able to reach into other people's lives in this community, in the folks that we know, and see God really do a life-changing work there. Of course, beginning with salvation if the need be. We want to see fruit. And God, I believe, wants to use us that way. There's not one of us here that God doesn't want to use that way. He's made us unique. And that's for a purpose, and he wants us to be bearing fruit. And so remember, you're a branch attached to the vine. You need to be attached to the vine. If you stay attached to the vine, you're getting that energy of Christ flowing through you, you could say, and the power to bear fruit. And so much could be said about John 15, but just remember, God wants us to be bearing fruit. Over in John 4:35, we have this wonderful promise that the fields are already white. They are white already to harvest. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Folks, we've got to believe that promise. Sometimes we are working with different ones we know, and there's ongoing conversation, and a week passes, another week passes, and the months pass, and maybe even the years, and you look at your contact that you have and say, is anything happening there? We have to believe that it is. We can't lose faith. We have to believe that God is doing a work through our efforts, but then we also have to believe that, generally speaking, around us, whether it's that individual or around, the fields are indeed white. They are ready for harvest. Don't believe the lies of the devil that nothing can happen. The fields are white already to harvest. And so we have that promise that we can lean on. And there's a place for you to be harvesting in that field. No one's exempt from that. I believe that there is a place in the harvest for you. There's a song that says there is reaping and gathering to do. Do not longer delay. Work for Jesus today. There's a place in the harvest for you. We're in Luke chapter 14 and verses 25 through 35. Luke 14, 25 through 35. Let me just grab that passage here. And in thinking about these thoughts last time, the Lord led me to this passage. It's a very challenging passage. I wouldn't say that it's specifically on evangelism. It's more on discipleship. But I believe I mentioned last time, they go hand in hand. You can't separate evangelism and discipleship. They are a part of a very similar thing. Of course, one is dealing more with salvation and the other one's dealing with more spiritual growth. Yes, I get that. But we want to be creating genuine converts, genuine conversions. And if you're going to do that, then the people have to get saved, and then they need to start growing. And so discipleship is so important. And Jesus was dealing with that subject here, verse 25, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother, and his wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, of course, we know Jesus was not literally saying that you need to hate all those people. But he was making the point of there being a great contrast, is that your love for Christ and your devotion and your commitment to Christ is so great that it's almost as if you are not concerned of anything else, okay? You are so committed to following Christ. Now, keep that in balance, okay? That would be glorifying to the Lord if you kept all this in balance. Jesus was not teaching to completely neglect, you know, your father, mother, and the needs that are there. But he was emphasizing we need to be committed. Total commitment was the point we were thinking about there. To following our Lord and doing his commands and being surrendered to the Lord. And I want to apply that to the ministry of evangelism. Are we fully surrendered to God in this area? Are we? I like all of you. Honestly, I don't want to lose any of you. I don't want to see any of you go off to the mission field because I want you here. But if God calls you to the mission field, would you be willing to go? I would be surrendered to that if he calls you. But are we totally committed to the Lord? To go anywhere, to do anything that he would call us to do, even in the ministry of evangelism? Are we committed totally? Are you a true disciple of Christ is the idea here. I like to think of it this way. In other words, have you had that genuine conversion? If we were to take our Bibles and turn over to Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 40, you would have that story of the Gadara conversion. And I used to preach a message on that passage about the Gadara conversion. And how that man, the maniac of Gadara, when Jesus came into his life, he didn't just get saved from the power of the demons that dwelt in him. He didn't just make a quick decision there and then go live the rest of his life for himself. No, we saw a very extreme transformation in that man's life. He trusted the Lord. He was delivered from the power of the demons, but he also desired to be with Jesus. That was totally different than what he was doing before, of course. And then furthermore, he went out and he wanted to tell others about Jesus. There was a complete transformation, a genuine conversion that took place in that individual's life. And that's the kind of thing that should be true of our lives. There ought to be a genuine conversion. First of all, salvation, but then there ought to be spiritual growth in our lives. And then furthermore, it ought to translate into helping others spiritually grow. And the process of multiplication is the goal that we're going for. And so that's going to take some total commitment out of us. To see the needs of other people and be willing to give of ourselves to minister to them so that they can then grow and they can then multiply. So we thought about the total commitment that is needed if we're going to have this personal evangelism brand developed in our lives. So the personal evangelism brand is taking what God has given you, the uniqueness that he's given you, and developing that into a useful tool to connect with other people and to provide value in their lives and reach them. It's going to take total commitment. Then also in this passage, we brought out how it's going to take a careful plan. All right. So in Luke chapter 14, verse 28, Jesus was talking about the building a tower and giving the parable there. It says, verse 28, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to build it?" Obviously, it would be unwise to not count the cost first before you started a project like that. And that's what Jesus is bringing out. You have to have a plan. You have to be strategic in this. It would be very unwise not to. And furthermore, verse 31, verse 31, "Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? You see, you better have a strategy. You've got to approach this, specifically what Jesus is talking about, war, with a plan. And folks, we are in a spiritual battle for men's souls, and we better have a plan. We better apply strategy in this. We don't want to just sit around and expect it to happen. No, it's going to take a plan. It's going to take a philosophy of ministry. It's going to take that kind of approach if there's going to be effectiveness and success and fruit. And so, what kind of plan do you have to reach souls? What kind of plan are you developing in your life to put together a package, something that you can use, a tool that you can use to provide value to somebody else so that they would be attracted to you and you could then reach further into their life and into their soul and make an impact? What kind of brand has God given you, and are you developing that into something useful for evangelism? And then another thing we saw here in verse 34, we spoke about market value. All right, so we were thinking of it all with the kind of that business approach and having a brand that businesses often have, a logo, colors, and all these different things, and they put that package together so that when they advertise, it's effective and it's recognizable and people can be drawn back to that and know right away, here's the value that they provide in the economy here. Here's the value they put forth in the market, and this is why I could use them. And I would choose them over there. So that's, of course, the business approach, but there's a strategy there. There's obviously a plan being applied. And we can take some of those same things and realize, you know, God wants us to have a plan. He wants us to provide something that's valuable to somebody else. And verse 34, we see that Jesus is bringing out the point that salt is good. It's valuable, but only if it still has its savor. It says, verse 34, if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It's not good for anything after that. You may as well get rid of it because there's no value there anymore. And when we are considering our ministry of evangelism, there is a certain aspect to this that we have to consider, and that is, what can we provide to somebody else that they would consider is valuable? So that we then have an opportunity to reach them. Here's a phrase that I want us to really ponder on. I've been thinking about this a lot with the value thing, and I think it's something like many things in life, we got to keep in the proper balance. But if I don't have anything that a person values, let's say I'm trying to reach my neighbor, and if I have nothing that person values, then I have nothing to reach them with. If you have nothing that a person values, then you have nothing to reach them with. So, you may say, well, isn't Jesus valuable? Isn't the gospel valuable? And here at church, we understand the gospel and we've read the word of God and we know the impact it made in our lives. And we would say, absolutely, Jesus is valuable. The gospel is valuable. And you say, well, then we have something valuable. And I say, yes. Yes, absolutely. That's the way you and I think. But what about that person down the road? What about our neighbor, the coworker at work? If they don't value Jesus, if they don't think he's valuable, then you've got to get something in there first so that you can get to Jesus. Now, that's not compromise. That's just having a plan. That's just approaching this strategically and saying, look, I've got to have an inroad into their life. I'm not going to be very effective, though God can use it, all kinds of things that we don't think he can sometimes. I'm not going to be as effective if I just go right to Jesus sometimes with some people. Okay? They're not ready for that. They don't place value on Jesus. Should they? Absolutely. Could they in the future? Yes. But they have to see that first. And if I don't have anything in my life that a particular person that I'm burdened for values, then I don't have anything to reach them with. So I want you to consider that thought. What do you have that is valuable? What do you have that maybe you can produce that is valuable, that another person would value, that then you can use as a tool to reach into their lives and impact them, and then help them to see the value of Jesus, the difference that he has made in your life. So then they say, well, I want that too. If you have nothing that a person values, then you have nothing to reach them with. Matthew chapter 5, excuse me, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, it says, ye are the salt of the earth. If the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is then thenceforth good for nothing to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. It goes further and says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all men that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so I believe as we approach evangelism with a plan and a strategy, then it's going to cause us to start to realize I've got to have something valuable to offer to people. I've got to have something to use, a tool, some way that I can reach them. And by the way, that thing that is valuable can take all kinds of different forms. All kinds of different forms. Many, many good things people have done in the past. I think there's good things we could find to do in the future. That valuable thing, that market value can take all kinds of different forms. But we have to make sure it's something God leads us to. We have to make sure God, it is something that God develops and that God's blessing is upon. But consider the need for there to be market value in your personal evangelism brand. Is there a, you can put it this way, is there a market for what you want to offer people? Is there a niche there for you to utilize and take advantage of so people can be pointed toward Christ? So we considered some of those things last month, and then we start to get into some practical application and how does this all fit together? And I would like to just spend the rest of our evening being very practical. I would like you to interact with me and interact with one another, because we've got to kind of flesh this out a little bit. If Steve, I'll pick on you. If you're going to have a personal evangelism brand, then that has to be developed. That has to be thought through. That has to be brainstormed. And really, you know, consider, how's that all going to work? What would it look like? Pastor, you know, if we're going to develop one for you, then it's going to take a little work and thinking through this. And I would encourage us to interact and do some of this tonight, even. I don't want you to just sit there and think, okay? I want you to interact. So how can we be practical with this kind of thing? How can we start to develop these plans? And as I expressed last month, this is really part of my burden. I want to help you develop this. I want to work with you individually and say, okay, what do you have to offer? And what has God given you? And how can we put that into a gospel tracker? How can we put that into... who knows what it might be. All kinds of different ideas you might have floating around out there, but be busy about that and help me help you, because I do believe that's part of what the Lord wants us to move forward with here at Faith Bible Church. So you have the tools to use in people's lives. So we got to be practical here. So how are we going to get the word of God out to people that God loves and wants to forgive their sins? How are we going to advertise the gospel consistently and effectively? How are people going to be convinced that there is value in what we have to offer? Well, we thought about how we must be praying, okay? We got to pray for opportunities. We saw that in Word of God, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip was in communication with God as he was led to meet the eunuch and witness to him. We thought about how we need to be prepared. And so praying and prepared, that's developing that brand, getting it all together. And we need to be public. All right? This is a lot of something Pastor and I have talked about. How can we be more public? How can we be interacting with more people on a regular basis? What lifestyles do we need to create so that we're doing this, so that we are interacting with people all the time? Some of you have a lifestyle like that already, and you've gotten yourself into some job situation or some kind of routine that you regularly interact with people. That's good. Maybe more of us need to move that direction as the Lord leads. So we have to pray about that. We have to be prepared, getting the tools we need. We need to be public. We need to be interacting with people on a consistent basis. And we need to be perceptive. So as you're in public and as you have those opportunities, then we have to have that eye for the needs that are around us. And take those things that make other people unique and connect that with why we're unique and use those things together, being perceptive to get to God and get to the gospel with people. All right, so you interact with me now a little bit. I'm going to give you some examples, and I want you to share ideas of how these people in these examples, how their personal evangelism brands could be developed into something useful they could do, they could use, okay? So I just came up with these stories, and... you listen to this paragraph as I read it, and then I want you to give ideas of what this person could do, okay? So, let's call this guy Lucas, all right? Lucas is 32 years old, he's married, and he has four kids, okay? He began gaining automotive mechanical experience at his grandfather's shop as a teenager. Okay? Eventually, he began to manage most of the business for his grandfather. The grandfather passed away unexpectedly, and Lucas soon found out that he was in his grandfather's will to inherit the business. So he inherited the business through hard work and wise business practices. He was able to take the business to a new level, and things were really going well. But Lucas is burdened for the lost. He's burdened for making an impact on people's lives. Lucas doesn't just want to be running a business and going to church and that's it. No, he wants to have an impact. He's trying to raise his children for the Lord, yes, and be active in his church, yes. But he really wants to see lives changed. He wants to see some people saved. What are some things that Lucas could do? Okay, again, he's 32 years old. He has a wife, four children, and a prosperous automotive business. What are some ideas? Okay, listen in the back. Okay, I have some very similar ideas for Lucas. Very good. Okay, Steve, I'm going to you next because you raised your hand. But I wanted to mention, even before I got started, no dumb ideas here, okay? You can't give a dumb idea, is my point. Because when you're brainstorming, some ideas just don't fly. Don't be embarrassed tonight of that. I want you to share. I want you to get your minds thinking because this is what you got to do yourself. And so, Steve, you had your hand up. Did you have any thoughts for Mr. Lucas?
Yeah, what about he could put gospel tracts in his shop, and then he could put a gospel tract on his letterheads when he gives them the bills also.
Okay.
They read it when they read their bill. There'd be something on there.
Yeah.
Just encouragement.
Those are good ideas. So on the top of the invoice, yep, have scripture there, have some kind of something that would points to Jesus, and then a gospel track rack in the waiting room. Is that kind of your ideas? Yep, those would all be good things for Lucas to do. Yeah. Jim?
Sort of playing off that idea, maybe he can develop a track that compares him fixing an engine to God fixing our soul.
Ah, I like that. I really like that. That's good. So develop a gospel track. I think as we've been getting into this, developing a gospel track is a very, it's an easy go-to. I almost said it's a very simple thing to start with, but it takes some work to develop a gospel track. I'll admit that, but it's not impossible. It's not impossible. Once it's done, it's done. But yeah, there's a good connection. So you're fixing vehicles, and only Jesus can fix the heart. Something like that. Okay, Monse?
I was thinking the practical way he could give a percentage of people who really need it. That would give him a testimony and an open door for telling them, I don't do it this because it benefits my business, but because I love the Lord and I want to do the best for him.
Okay. Yeah. So right away he's offering something of real value to them that he would know all his customers are going to have place value in, a discount. So if he can afford that discount, then he can make that, even that business move, but that spiritual move, and say, okay, I'm going to hand select some people that the Lord lays on my heart to give a discount to, but along with that, maybe I'm going to have some kind of, maybe not a full track, but I'm going to have something that I can send them off with.
Oh, if the person receives a discount, they are going to ask, this, why this? You know?
Yeah.
And then he has an open door to say, you know,
so some kind of piece of literature maybe that would explain why they got that discount. And yeah, So you're what's happening there? He's providing something that he already knows people are going to value, and he's using it as a tool to get to Jesus with them. Yes. So it takes total commitment. A lot of these ideas we could have, you know, it's an investment on your part. But folks, are souls worth it? Absolutely. Absolutely. And so we need to be totally committed disciples of the Lord. I want to go off of Alyssa's idea a little more. Here's kind of some thoughts I had. He's got a lot of faithful customers. He's got a lot of guys that keep coming back to him and ladies bringing their vehicles. The business is really going well. Well, how about he has some kind of annual customer appreciation cookout? You know, kind of like Alyssa was saying, right there he's got a nice property, a nice yard he could have it on. He could borrow a grill or two and advertise, hey, customers, we're having an annual cookout, customer appreciation cookout. Bring your own meat, that kind of thing. Just a real simple thing. But then he's going to ask his pastor to come and present the gospel to the whole group. Okay, he could advertise that and say, look, we're having a customer appreciation cookout, and there will be a special message from a special person. My pastor's going to be there, and he has a special message from the Lord. However you wanted to word it. But, you know, it's thinking outside of the box. But God would use something like that. I believe he would. I think a lot of it comes back to, what is Lucas's heart? If his desire is to see God do a work and use him, God's going to bless. God's going to bless. Any other ideas for Lucas? Billy. Yeah. Yeah, that, you mean like apprenticeship or more like just an open shop day?
Open shop day.
Kind of. Yeah. I don't know quite how that would all work, but there'd be ideas there. And that, maybe some of those things would take a lot of effort. But hey, if that's what the Lord leads Lucas to, then he needs to pursue that. And the Lord can use that. That's good. Yeah, I like that. So he could take an old car, beat up, and then he, of course, he has talent to fix up cars and make them really nice, and so he could have that sitting right out by his garage, and some kind of sign there that would really get people's attention, and he could try to orchestrate his schedule so that he's regularly there to be able to interact with people somehow. Yeah, neat idea, neat idea. Karen, you had your hand up? Yeah. Yeah. Very intriguing. I like that thinking. I'll just share with you, I have been really thinking about the tool that education can be for impacting lives. Really. Teaching something can be so impactful because someone is already coming to you for understanding. They're already placing a value into you, and you have quite a length of time to teach that thing to them, but then go deeper into how to really live life. And so education, I think, is a great thing of value that we could utilize. All right, so Let's move on to another person. How about this lady's name is Ava? And Ava is 68 years old, lives by herself. Her husband passed away several years ago. It has not been easy, but the Lord impressed upon her to focus on the needs of others, and she has developed some good relationships with a few friends from church. One of her interests has always been bird watching, and she has become very good over the years at identifying many types of birds. There are woods behind her house, and she loves to sit on her back porch waiting to see what will come around to the feeders. It is a peaceful pastime for her, but she often thinks that it would be better with someone else to talk to. She is burdened to focus on the needs of others and wonders how she could. Any ideas? Okay,
well,
Debbie.
There are bird watchers clubs, you know, and there are a lot of them that are local, you know, and she could get involved with that and then invite those people when she gets to know them a little better, invite them to her church.
Okay, I think that would probably be one of the easiest things she could get right into. Find a bird watchers club and start to interact with those people there. I don't know what bird watchers clubs do. But go ahead, are you in one?
Yeah, I can tell you. What they do is they look for birds that are out of the ordinary to their area, and then they count the number of birds that are in that area. And then they have a
Okay, so they'll probably they'll keep statistics and compare that. They will probably work to put out certain types of feed and things to try to attract certain birds they want to see and see if that's effective. I guess they get together in a park somewhere maybe, or somewhere where they can do that. So there's opportunities there because you're rubbing shoulders with people, and you've already found something of value because you know that other people that are bird watchers value birds. And so you can take that thing of a love for birds and use it to get into people's lives. So join a bird watchers club. What else? What else could Ava do? I thought, if she didn't join one, she could start one, okay? She could start her own bird watchers club. Well, then she can kind of create that thing into whatever she wants it to be. Any ideas? Let's say she was creating her own, what would it be? Would you just watch birds? Pastor?
I think the focus here has been on bird watching, but we can't underestimate the whole story. You mentioned how she was a widow. That's something that has been hurtful or hard in her life, but yet God allowed her to go through that for a purpose. And so, if she can watch birds with other widows, but, whether or not it has anything to do with birds, she can certainly be watching out for other widows that are in her situation to invite over. She's got a nice backyard, maybe that others don't have. A lot of people don't have nice backyards with woods behind. She can invite them over and just be a listening ear, a comfort. She knows what they're going through because she went through it. So maybe she could just, even focus on those type of other ladies that are out there. Mm-hmm. That's what God's given her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so she's taken all those different things that she's gone through and taking the interest in bird watching and forming that together into a special niche that she can fill in the market, okay? Not an itch, a niche. those are good ideas. She could develop a pamphlet, maybe, for her group that she's getting together, her club. So she could use that to invite other ladies who would maybe have an invitation in that pamphlet, maybe some interesting facts about various birds in the area, but then a connection to God as the creator of those birds, and making that connection back to God. So all kinds of different things she could do, maybe with some kind of pamphlet like that. Maybe once she establishes regular bird watching meetings, She could then have plenty of time to talk with other ladies and impact their lives. Because, I don't know, I guess they just sit there and wait for the birds to come. But she can develop this into whatever she wants. But the point is, she's saying, what has God given me and how can I use that? All right, we're out of time. One more here. Robert is 76 years old. He used to be a full-time welder, but many years of hard work have taken their toll, and now he cannot get around much. He lives in town, and he wants to be able to make an impact on people. He doesn't know how to use computers. He doesn't send text messages. His creative days are now long gone. He's not really someone to necessarily make a track or have that developed, you know. He's not really able to be very creative or produce anything physically to use of value, but yet he wants to be able to do something for people, to impact them. Now, his house is situated at the end of a 90-degree turn in town. So the road goes this way for a while, and then it turns. His house is right at that corner. He doesn't have anything of value, physical value, to produce or offer people except for a genuine smile and a friendly wave. What could he do? Yes, Sam? Very good. Yeah, lots of good ideas there. Anyone else before I kind of give my thought? You want to hear my thought? This is very similar to Sam's ideas there. Okay, I'm just picturing this guy. He sits, he can't get out much. He really can't even walk around town. But he can shuffle out to his front porch. And he thinks, I don't have anything to create and give to people. What can I use for the Lord? And he decides, you know what? I want to see God do something. And so every day I'm able, I'm going to spend time sitting on that front porch because all the cars are driving right toward me. And then they turn. And I'm going to give the biggest one, each one the biggest smile they've ever seen and a happy wave. And I'm just going to sit there and enjoy people and wave to them and do what I can to brighten their day. And of course the sidewalk is there and people regularly go by. I am going to be friendly and I'm going to wave at them and see how God will use it. Now that sounds like a very little thing, doesn't it? Okay. A lemonade stand. Yeah, I thought of that too. Yep. Okay, but let's say he just really can't provide a lemonade stand. What could he do? The pastor. Mm-hmm. Yep. I believe, yes, Donna? He could. Yeah, yeah, he could. That would be a neat ministry. Yeah, it's good. We think about prayer. We think about Bible verses, signs, or we think, what could God do with some of those things? Would they really make a difference? Would just a smile and a happy wave be able to make a difference in someone else's life? And here's what I believe. If you have a heart to see God do a work, God will bless that. God will bless that. And if you take what you have, your two mites, and say, Lord, this is all my evangelism brand consists of, but God, I want you to use it, and you faithfully use that, God will bring fruit. And so if his thing was, I'm going to sit out on that porch and every car that drives by, I'm going to just be the happiest old man that they ever saw today. And I'm going to wave and I'm going to give a big smile and in time see what God will do. You know what? I think it would change that town. I think they would start to realize there's that happy old man every single day, and it's raining today. But there he is, and I'm going to go by and visit him someday. Or I'm walking by, and you're walking by, and there he is again. Well, hi there. You just are drawn to someone like that, right? And I think people would begin to be drawn to him, and he would have opportunity to tell them about Jesus. Even if you can't produce something grand and something that would have value to many, many people, you could still offer something of value to somebody. And if you have a heart to see God use you, I believe he will. But you have to choose it. You have to say, I'm going to be totally committed to the Lord. I'm going to take whatever he's given me. He's made me unique for a purpose, and I'm going to use that to the best of my ability to be a faithful disciple. I'm going to approach this thing strategically. I'm going to develop a plan, and I'm going to implement that plan and see what God will do with it. I'm going to find something that there is a niche I can fill. I'm going to create something of value, find something of value that God has given me, and start to pour that into the lives of other people. And I believe when we do that, God will bless. And so as we close tonight, how's your evangelism brand coming? Your personal evangelism brand. There's more we will talk about with this in the future. Again, we're busy with Easter. After Easter, I'm already working with some here to get their personal evangelism brands moving forward. I believe we'll be developing tracks for some of you, hopefully many of you in the future. And I would like to work with you, my wife and I would like to work with you to help you get the tools you need to be used of the Lord to reach souls. And so I pray that that burden will sink into all of our hearts, and the Lord will use us that way. Lord, I ask that you would do this work. It takes creativity, takes thinking outside of the box. It takes understanding the way people work and what they desire and what they value. And it takes putting a plan in place and carefully following your leading in all of this. And so, Lord, I pray that you would lead us. I pray that you would burden us. I pray that you would show us things that, boy, we never even thought of that, but then we do it by faith and we see amazing things that you do through it. God, we're asking for that. Lord, would you please continue to lead us corporately as we develop our corporate evangelism brand, but even maybe more personally, because that's every day, Monday through Saturday, and the things going on all the time in each of our places where we are. Lord, would you help us to develop our personal evangelism brands and be burdened for this? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.